Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We're believing that we can properly convey what God is stirring in our spirit. Wherever you're living right now, if it's a good place, if God provided it for you. We live where we're living, either because God brought us to that place or the enemy did. The only way the enemy can do that is if we give him control of our attitude and fail to follow God's instructions. It's not God's best for us to live in a dangerous, dirty, or depressing place.
In Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 and 8 in the King James, it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olives, and honey."
God wants us to be in a good place. But sometimes we have to go through the wilderness to get into the promised land that he has for us. Here are seven clues to where God wants you to live. Number one, living in a good land. What makes a land good? Oh, you just read in the scripture, babe.
I did.
Flowing water, springs with valleys and hills where crops are grown, crops like wheat and barley, other things like vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. The land God wants us to have isn't just any land. According to the scripture, it's a good land. So here's a question. When praying about increase, do we ask God to give us good land? If not, we should. Throughout history, land's always been important, and it's no different today. One more thing. There's almost always good things located underneath good land.
There you go. Number two, in a place where you lack for nothing. I like that. Deuteronomy 8, verse 9 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "A land in which you shall eat food without shortage and lack nothing in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper." You know, you may have been traveling through enemy territory, but God is going to bring you into a fresh place.
Hallelujah.
Where every need will be met and you will lack for nothing.
We like that phrase, don't we, baby?
Yes, we do. In fact, we need to lay claim to it.
Each one of us.
Make it a part of our daily confession. Personalize it. I will lack for nothing. Maya will lack for nothing. Ray and Brenda will lack for nothing. Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But it gets even better when you remember the Lord thy God and what he's done for you.
Hallelujah. Number three, houses you can be proud of. Deuteronomy 8:12. "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein." Of course, they'd probably be godly, too.
Amen.
"You'll have a good house." Now, you may have left behind a house in Egypt during your time of bondage to debt, but rejoice. Scripture says you're going to have goodly houses. Notice the scripture just doesn't say you're going to have a house. It says you're going to have houses. Did you catch that? What is a goodly house? Look at Deuteronomy 8:12. New Living Translation. "For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in." Now, let me say, your house may not be featured in the million-dollar houses or rooms on the Home and Garden television network, though it might could be. But you will never again have to be ashamed of where you live. And by the way, we've always enjoyed playing Monopoly with our children when they were younger, and even now that they're on their own. See, but Monopoly now takes on a different meaning for us. I mean, inherited to buy property, houses, hotels, railroads, utility companies. We want people paying us rent. We're ready for Park Place and Boardwalk.
There you go. Number four, tending your own flocks and herds. Deuteronomy 8:13 says, "And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply." Notice the word thy, meaning the flocks and the herds that are multiplying are yours. Shepherds, for the most part, were always paid a wage to tend someone else's flocks and herds. Being a shepherd was not an easy job. It was often grueling, subject to extremes of the weather and drought in certain resources, and they had to go from place to place to find water. However, in Deuteronomy 8:13, it clearly points out that your flocks and herds are now multiplying. In the Old Testament, wealth was often measured by the size of a person's flock or herd. Today, we wouldn't use those, particular terms. But it was critical for a person to know the location of every animal and also his physical condition. So in 2 Samuel 12:2, it said, "The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds." So it's what we have gathered into our possession.
Hallelujah. Number five, more and more money will be coming your way. Deuteronomy 8:13. "And thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied." Now, I don't know about you, but I know we like the word multiply when it comes to money and possessions. Multiplication is definitely better than addition, and certainly better than subtraction.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen to the Message Bible. Deuteronomy again, chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. "Make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules, and regulations that I commanded you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build pleasant houses and settle in. See your herds and flocks flourish, and more money come in. Watch as your standard of living goes up and up." Wow.
Number six, when God's on your side, there are no limitations to your future. Deuteronomy 8:15-16, as we continue here, Deuteronomy 8:15-16 say, "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he may humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end?" When you're in the middle of a financial desert, and we all go through them, with enemies seemingly all around, no water, no food, no family to help out in a tight spot, remember that God is doing more for you right now that you can't see, so he can bring into manifestation the things that you can see. The point is that he is grooming you and growing you for your next level. And God will fight your battles for you. In Exodus 23:22, we've often quoted it. Exodus 23:22, it says, "But if you will indeed listen to and obey his voice, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries." And one of my favorite verses, and my husband's too, in Romans 8:31. This part of it, Romans 8:31 in the Classic Amplified in part says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side?" We have kind of a silent partner in our life who is not really silent, not in the scheme of things, but who's always willing to stand up for us.
If you ever doubt that, there's lots of scripture to back it up.
That's it.
Hallelujah and amen. Number seven, you have the ability, the power to get wealth. Now, what you have to do is do something with it. You know, it's kind of like, if you person goes to college and to law school, they graduate and, you know, they call them a lawyer. Now, they never may have never been in a courtroom or tried a case, but they're called a lawyer because of what's in them, what they know,
not because of what they've done
right. up to that point. And you see, when you get a hold of the scripture, Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You see, you got to get that inside of you before you can ever manifest.
Because he's given us the power.
That's right.
Yeah, we don't have the wealth yet, but we have the power to get wealth.
That's exactly right.
All right.
First, the verse is saying that we should always remember the Lord our God, which has been consistent in everything that he's done. I mean, everything he does for us. In fact, you might even want to read and listen to this teaching again so you can grasp the fullness of what's being said. No matter how successful we become, we should never forget who our source is, the one who enables and empowers us to be successful, prosperous. We need to always remember the Lord our God.
Amen.
Second, the verse says that it's God who gives us the power to get wealth. The power to get wealth is not something of our own creation or born through our own abilities. But it's only the Lord who gives us the power to get wealth. Now, it's also important to realize that God would never give us a power unless he wanted us to use it. Think about that.
That's true.
Third and finally, God gives you the power, the ability to get wealth.
You know, in Deuteronomy 8:18 in the New International Version, honey, it says it this way. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day.
Can somebody say
hallelujah?
One final thought. We understand that you may have worked hard to get where you are. But we also know it was the Lord who gave you a brain to think with, the strength of body to work, the health to function properly, and the skills to create possibilities. In short, we are who we are and where we are because of who's in us.
Hallelujah.
And we develop, as we spend time in his presence, two chairs, as we read his word, then the inside of us begins to change, and we move to a point where we can do the things that God wants us to do. And as we do that too, we follow his word, we can live where he wants us to live.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Well, tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, tonight.
Sunday Night Live.
Can't forget it.
I've already been working on this teaching, I can tell you. Going to make you jump up and down and shout. So you need to join in tonight, 6 p.m. Go to heraldherring.com. At the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8, well, tonight at 6 p.m.
That's true.
And then tomorrow morning, 8:30 Eastern for Rich Thoughts. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.